Our text comes from our reading today, John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is our text. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. No equivocation, no insinuation, no innuendo. It's straightforward and, well, blunt. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty simple. If you love Jesus, you will obey Jesus. Now, I suppose I could play some theological games this morning, a little systematic maneuvering, and I could try to convince you that this is not a hard word, but merely a gospel imperative, a happy outcome of our faith relationship, not a burden, and certainly not an obligation. I could try to tell you that, but I won't. After all, the systematic angles and schemes have been exhausted. The fact is that the bare words of command remain, undiminished and as demanding as ever. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Conditional statements like this don't always hit us quite right. In fact, statements like these are notorious for being uncomfortable, even manipulative. If you love me, you will. It's just the kind of thing that a parent can use to initiate a colossal guilt trip. If you love me, you'll come home for Mother's Day. Or a spouse might use the phrase to put a little coercive punch behind a selfish request. If you love me, you'll let me buy that 42-inch flat panel plasma TV. Or, more horribly, it is exactly the kind of manipulation that is legendary in young romances. If you love me, you will not tell me no. Truth be told, we're a little wary of sentences that begin with, "If you love me." And so maybe we're predisposed not to hear Jesus' words as entirely positive. Maybe that's why we try to relabel them as harmless gospel imperatives or as non-demanding indicative descriptions of the life of faith. But the words just don't let us get away with such minimizing and such domesticating. Love me, obey me. That's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus meant. And yes, it does drop a remarkably heavy burden squarely on our shoulders. There is an expectation that comes with this Christian life thing. There is a way that Jesus expects his people to live. He wants them. He wants you to obey. It's just that simple. But please realize that there is nothing manipulative or twisted about any of this. Jesus does not start with, "If you love me," because he wants to guilt you or force you into some particular behavior that would be good for him, but, well, not so good for you. His purpose is purely for your benefit. His goal is that you be formed, shaped into his image, conformed to his plan. His goal is to make you into his creature, his follower, his disciple, his brother, his sister. Jesus wants you to be a son, a daughter of God. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," because he knows that there is nothing better for you in all the world than that you keep his commandments. Because when you do that, you are shaped into his plan, the right plan, the only plan that works, the plan that culminates in impossible, perfect joy. Jesus is not content, you see, to simply save your soul. He wants to save all of you, not just your afterlife, but all of your life. And he starts now. And knowing that such obedient living does not come easy for us, he promises to send help. The Holy Spirit himself. It's not about manipulation or control. It's about formation and fulfillment. Love me, obey me. It's the Christian life in a nutshell. From the Gospel of John, of course. It is the description of Jesus' discipleship. It is the description of God's children. God's children no longer live for themselves. They don't follow their own ideas. They don't strive to fulfill their own agendas. No, God's children learn that love means obedience, and obedience means the death of self-sufficiency, the death of autonomy, the death of license. Obedience means that it is God's will that matters, and conformity to that will is the goal and the fulfillment of life itself. That's the way that it is for God's children. Your will is not your own. You live to follow Jesus' way. You live to obey God's will. That's what children do. And maybe that's why there are times when you would just as soon be an orphan. You know how it goes. From the security and, well, the confinement of your life of obedience in the household of God, you look out and you see the orphans of the world running freely in the streets. They're out there at all hours doing the most interesting things. They follow no schedule. They obey no rule. They bend to no will but their own. They have only one agenda, whatever they feel like doing at the moment. They indulge every passion. They explore every pleasure. They manipulate every situation. They use every person for their own gratification. Self-denial is the enemy. Autonomy is the goal and the guide. And so the orphans of the world, those who recognize no one's claim upon them, those who refuse all offers of adoption, those who deny their divine paternity, the orphans of the world live the way that they want to live. They choose their own reality. They pursue their own goals. They invest in their own agendas. And there are times when you envy them so much that it aches. You want so badly to join them out there in the street, just for a while. You want to be one of them, an orphan, a child of the street, freedom, fun, a frenzy of self-indulgence. It looks wonderfully inviting. Sometimes the temptation is just too much, isn't it? Sometimes the lure of the street children pulls you away, and for a time, you forget your father. You live like an orphan. You do whatever you want. You indulge your pleasures. You pursue your agenda. You don't obey Jesus. You don't even give him a passing thought. At the moment, you've got other things on your mind. It happens, doesn't it? The children live like orphans. But you can't have it both ways, of course. And that's what Jesus was getting at. Orphans live like street children, fatherless. But Jesus' followers live like members of the family, children of God. Orphans only look lucky. You know the truth. At the core of every orphan's autonomy and freedom is crushing loneliness and empty despair. The party never lasts. The fun is forced and fake. And when the father finally arrives to fully establish his household according to his plan, well, then the real plight of the orphans will be suddenly and tragically evident to everyone. When the father comes, you don't want to be an orphan. When the father comes, you want Jesus, your brother, seeking you out and claiming you as one of his very own. When the father comes, reality is fully manifest. The orphans descend into hopeless despair. The children delight in the father's embrace. Don't be fooled by appearances. An orphan's life is defined by despair. Only children hope. Only children obey. And you are a child. You have been claimed by your brother, Jesus. He will never forget you. He'll never forsake you. He is coming for you. He's promised it. You're his. You are not an orphan. So stop living like one. Stop envying the kids out in the street. Live according to your identity. You are God's child, born in the waters of baptism. Live in the reality of God's Spirit. He is present for you, the guarantee of your identity. Live in the truth of Jesus. Love him, obey him. It's just what children do. Amen.